ought to be in hell. Ain't nothing about me worth saving. But I am glad he saved me. And if you're here and Holy Ghost been speaking to you about getting saved, don't you wait very long. Don't wait till the Spirit of God says goodbye to you. Whew. My Lord. Got your Bibles? I hope you brought your Bible today. Turn with me to Exodus chapter number 8, please, and stand to your feet. I'm going to be preaching from the Word of God. Can I tell you something? The Word of God is infallible, inerrant. It's the Word of God is timeless. The Word of God has been tested. The Word of God has been tried. And I want you to know it's still real today. Amen. Are you there in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 8? I love this story. This is an awesome story. Look at verse number 6. And Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments and brought up frogs from the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, "Entreat the Lord." Let me give you a little West Virginia hillbilly. Talk to him for me, will you, Mose? "That he may take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go, that they may do sacrifice unto the Lord." And Moses said unto Pharaoh, "Glory over me. When shall I entreat for thee, for thy servants, and for thy people to destroy the frogs from thee and thy houses, that they may remain in the river only?" And he said, "Tomorrow." And he said, "Be it according to thy word, that thou mayest know that there is none like unto the Lord our God." Amen. May I say that one more time? Yes. There is none like the Lord our God. Yes. "And the frog shall depart from thee, and from thy house, and from thy servants, and from thy people. They shall remain in the river only." And Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh. And Moses cried unto the Lord because of the frogs which he had brought against Pharaoh. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses. And the frogs died out of the houses, out of the villages, and out of the fields. And they gathered them together upon heaps, and the land stank. But when Pharaoh saw that there was a respite, he hardened his heart and hearkened not unto them, as the Lord has said. Our Father, God, help us this morning. This one truth I'll be driving home for the next 30 or so minutes. God, speak to hearts, and we'll praise you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, for his sake, amen. As we look at our text today, we see a people that had now been in Egypt for at least 400 years. God's people, God's elect, God's precious ones. You say, "Preacher, how did they end up there anyway?" Because you know the story, how Joseph became the prime minister of Egypt, and His family came down to Egypt. Y'all know that story. And Joseph, they came down and they were blessed because of Joseph. Somebody say amen right there. And by the way, they were blessed by him, but here's what happened. Joseph died. And another Pharaoh came up who knew not Joseph. So here's what he did. He said, I am going to make you slaves. You're going to make mortar. You're going to make bricks out of straw. And you're going to work your hands to the bone, and you're going to be my slaves. I hate you Jews. I despise you people, and I am going to just literally abuse you. But God said, when he heard their cry, I'm going to get me a man. I want all you to know something here. I'll plow this a little bit. When God has a ministry, he always calls the man.
Amen. You're right.
By the way, you say, Preacher Smith, I don't feel too equipped. God doesn't even equip the equipped. He didn't call the equipped. He equips the called. Somebody say amen. So God brought him a Moses. Somebody. And by the way, Moses did everything he could. He said, I won't go down there. I can't do that. I can't talk. I'm not eloquent. There ain't no way. But I'm glad God will make a way. Somebody say amen. And here's what happened. They went down, and here come Moses and Aaron. I love this story, Jared. And here come Moses and Aaron, and they just went up and had a little council with Pharaoh, and here's what they said. They said, now, Pharaoh, God told us to tell you, I'm paraphrasing, let my people go. Hello? And by the way, you say, well, Pharaoh didn't do it. No, he didn't do it then, but he did do it. You say, oh, I'm not going to listen to God. Oh, yeah, you will. Oh, yes, you will. Somebody help me. And here's what happened. God said to Moses and Aaron, I want you to send some plagues. I'm going to send some plagues in on them people. And I tell you what I'm going to do first. I'm going to just make I'm going to make the water blood. Now here's what happened, boy. You said, well, that didn't happen. Oh, yes, it did happen. And if you don't believe that happened, then you're a heathen. And here's what happened. They went in to, how many of y'all got a refrigerator that you can hit it and the water comes in into your glass? How would you like it? When you put that thing, mine's on the left, and you put that thing on the left, and you pressed it down, and your cup was blood. How would you like it when your toilet was blood? How would you like it when you took a shower, and it was blood? How would you like it when your kids came with bloody garments? Hello? And you say, well, Preacher Smith, that seems tough. God was just getting started.
Amen.
Hey, I want you to know something. You are going to listen to God. You are going. Hey, we are going to listen to God because God's just getting started talking to you. Amen. Somebody say amen right there. Here's what God done. And it's the text here. God then said, okay, you ain't going to listen. You mean blood, drinking blood and bathing in blood and having blood, you ain't gonna listen. Well, I'm gonna up my game a little bit then. So God said, Moses, turn loose the frogs. Huh? They had frogs in the oven. They had frogs in the shower. They had frogs in the bed. They had frogs in their car. They had frogs in their clothes. Hello. I want y'all to know this. I hate frogs. I detest frogs. Frogs are of the devil. I did a wedding here one time of some dysfunctionals. And you said, what happened in that wedding? It's the wildest wedding I ever been in my life. I'll tell you what happened. The mother came down to, and she's the one who gave away the daughter and not her dad. She came down blowing kisses. Same wedding. Same wedding. I'm up there almost done praying, and the groomsman up there, and all of a sudden, boom. Groomsman passed out. And so I'm praying with my eyes open, looking at somebody, and like Doc Kinder, and I said, so they come and carried him off. And I'm a nervous wreck by then, okay? So I get down, and they asked me, they were so proud. That's the most expensive wedding I ever done for almost 40 years ago, or 35 years ago. I mean, big time expensive. The girl had a gown back then cost $1,500. I don't know what it cost today. And I was down there. She's beautiful and she's wonderful. And I liked her real well. And she came to church here. And she said, I want you, my dad ain't here. I want you to stand here and represent my dad at the reception line. Said, you know what I done? I said, oh, sure. So here comes one of her dysfunctional, ignorant, nuthead brothers. And he came down. I'm serious. This only could happen to me. Ain't nobody else does this but me. And here he come. And you know, he had something in his hand. And I said, she's looked at him. She's always so nice. I thought to myself, that don't smell nice. And all of a sudden, she raised her hand out, and that dude threw a frog right down in her hand. And that sucker jumped up on my shoulder. I want you to know something. Oh, Pharaoh, he had them frogs. They were going ready, ready, ready. And Kermit was going to bed with him and everything else. I mean, it was a mess. And I tell you how much of a mess it was. He said, I want you to do something for me. Get a hold of Moses and get a hold of Aaron. I need them. Some people don't like preachers, but you will need one day. I need them. And Moses come up to him. I'm going somewhere. I want to really get this soaked into you. And here, Moses up there, and he's, I want y'all to listen to this. How many of y'all hate frogs too? Moses came in and he said, what can I do for you? This is paraphrasing. What can I do for you, Pharaoh? And he looks at him and says, I can't stand these frogs. I want rid of them, Mose. Will you talk to God and get rid of them? And here's what Moses said. When you want rid of them frogs, if you had frogs running up your coat right now, coming out your neck, when you want rid of them frogs?
Today, right now.
How many of y'all agree with me? I got frogs in my house and in my shower and crawling up me. You're awful dignified today. When you gonna get rid of them? I tell you what, I know you. You're a hairdresser. You're real. You dress great. I know you. You just like me. Now, if I got the choice, Mose, if I got the choice right now, how many of y'all agree with that? Amen. Hello? But this guy baffles me. He said, tomorrow.
today. The frogs can leave you today. No, 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 Mose. Tomorrow. And I want to preach a sermon entitled, Why Tomorrow? Egypt is a picture of the world. Pharaoh is a picture of the devil. And I want y'all to know, tomorrow isn't a God thing. It's a devil thing. Somebody help me preach right there. Tomorrow is not something God wants. Oh, as a pastor, you're always praying that people get saved. Today, there's some people in this room, you've raised your hand that you need God. Some of you is up in years, some of you is young. And you say, well, maybe tomorrow. That's the worst thing you could say. See, God wants you saved today. God wants you walking by faith today. God wants you to stop your actions that's contrary to Him today. God wants you to quit copping our attitude and get it right today. God don't want you to keep on living like a devil. He wants you to get right now. You need saved now. You need to be faithful now. You need to be tithing now. You need to be surrendered to preach now. Whoa, somebody help me. Amen. So, for the next little bit, why in the world did Pharaoh say, tomorrow? Why tomorrow? I'll give you four things and we'll go home. Write this down. Number one, he had a prideful, disposition. Turn your Bibles back just a chapter or two to chapter 5. I want to show you Pharaoh's prideful disposition. Can I tell you what will land you up in hell quicker than anything is your pride. What will get you further from God than you have ever been in your life is your pride. What will keep you from going out and selling out to God is your pride. What will make you make bad decisions is your pride. Amen. Chapter 5 and verse 2. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. First of all, I see a ruling demand. Hey, I ain't paying attention to God. I'm not going to listen. I know the preacher says you need to get saved. I know the preacher says I need my marriage right. I know the preacher says that we need to quit living like a devil, smoking dope, doing things that are contrary to God, drinking and cussing and doing wicked stuff. I know that, but I'll just be honest with you. I ain't listening to God. I'm not listening. Who is he anyway? Who's he? Who's he to tell me how to live anyhow? Come on. And let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, pride is why a lot of people never get right with God. A ruling demand, then I see a repeated disregard. Look over there in chapter 7. Just get in the book and let's travel a little bit. Chapter 7. Are y'all there? He constantly... I believe it's verse 14. And the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh's heart's hardened. He refuses to let the people go. Can I say something? Unsaved person, don't let your heart get hard. But honestly, Christian, dear lady, dear man, dear young person, don't let your heart get hard. Don't get to the place where you're saying, God ain't going to speak to me. I'll do what I want to do. Then I see in verse 22, a rebellious demeanor. Look at chapter 7, verse 22. And the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments. And Pharaoh hardened his heart. Neither did he hearken unto them as the Lord had said. What a rebellious demeanor.
He was full of pride. I cry. What makes me cry at night is I see people that's lost and just are shaking a little bony hand up to God. Then what really aches my heart, worse than that even, is to see people who are children of God that are so prideful and so arrogant and all they can do. See, what it is, they have a rebellious demeanor. It's just in them. God help us. Number two, I want you to notice this. A pointless delay. Now get back up there to chapter number 8. A pointless delay. Look in verse number 8 and look around. Let's see. Let's just dive in at verse 2. But if thou refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all thy borders with frogs. And the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly, which shall go up and come into thine house and unto thy bedchamber and upon thy bed and unto thy house of thy servants and upon thy people and into thine ovens and into thy kneading troughs, dear God. And the frogs shall come upon both thee and upon thy people and upon thy servants. My Lord, hey, listen. Listen, Pharaoh. It's pointless for you to delay. Here, if you're here in this room and you're lost or you're a backslidden Christian, it is pointless for you to delay. I want you to know this so you won't go out here confused. You are going to listen to God. You are. You are going to listen to Him. You say, no, I won't. I don't care what you say. I don't listen to you, and I ain't going to listen to Him. I want to tell you something. It's pointless for you to keep rebelling. So first of all, look at verse 3 and 4. I see a miserable scene. Man, I'm going to tell you what, frogs everywhere. Miserable, slimy, stinky frogs. God help us. I see a messy situation. Hello. Sitting in TV, frogs on the TV. Getting ready to eat my lasagna. And a frog sitting in my lasagna. I don't know about you, but that's messy. And I want you to know this. You're constantly saying no to God. Your life's going to end up messy. It ain't going to end right. You may say, I'm not going to do what God tells me. I'll do my own thing. You go ahead. But you're going to end up messed up. And you will come eventually to your senses. Hopefully not too late. I hope it don't mess up your house. I hope it don't mess up your children. I know I see parents and moms, dads just making decisions that they know down the road is going to mess their kids up. Messy. Messy situation. Then it's going to be a major stink. So it's said down in verse 14. A whole place stunk. Somebody help me there. Guess what happens when we delay? Guess what happens when we don't repent? Guess what happens when we don't get saved? Guess what happens when we're not faithful? Guess what happens when we rebel against God? We're in a troubled situation. Somebody say amen. It's going to stink. Your life will stink. Your home will stink. Your neighbors will stink. Your friends will stink because of you. It just stinks. Could you imagine? It stuck up the whole land. Can I tell you? Can I be soft? Right now you think you're not hurting nobody. Oh yeah, you are. And you're going to stink one day. You know what? People will have to come around your life like this. I knew ministries that stink. I knew individuals that stink. I knew lives that stink. Why? Because they spent one night too long with the frogs. Somebody help me right there. A messy situation. A major's taken. Hey, by the way, you rebel against God, your attitude will stink. Your actions will stink. Everything about you will stink. Hey, unsaved person, listen to me. You stay where you are. You're going to die in hell. You're going to burn forever. Amen. Just because you said tomorrow. Yeah. Number three. It was a presumptuous determination. He assumed, listen to me, he assumed that they would be a tomorrow. I want you to know something. Ain't nobody in this world is assured of a tomorrow. I'll be going to Philly sometime in the midweek. Sister Cheryl went out last night at 1 o'clock in the morning. Lynn's sister. We don't know what's going to be on tomorrow. It may be a car wreck that takes you out. Takes one of your children out. Does something to you. You don't know what's on tomorrow. So I would say, if I don't know, and I am stinky, and I'm lost, and I'm backslidden, and I'm a mess, I am not waiting tomorrow to take a chance. Amen. What a presumption. Amen. Good for you. Let me say something to you. You need to get saved today. You need to get right today. You need your marriage fixed today. You need to be in the will of God today. Amen. See, he presumed that he'd have an automatic survival. He figured he would survive this thing. He presumed that he had an agreeable spirit. Everything would be all right. And verse 15, he really thought he'd get another shot. You ain't got but one shot at your marriage. You ain't got but one shot with your children. You ain't got but one shot with living right for God. You ain't got a whole bunch of shots. Hey, unsaved person, you ain't got a bunch of shots. It ain't like you ain't going to die. It ain't like that the Holy Ghost won't stop dealing with you. Boy, some of you presume a lot because you say you're saved. You presume, I'm all right. I'll be all right. Preach tomorrow, I'll get this thing settled. I know I'm copping an attitude. That's all. Preach, listen. Tomorrow will come. How much damage are you going to do between now and tomorrow? Am I preaching? Lord. Now stay with me. I got a real important thought and I'm done. I'm going to be done almost on time. Number four, I see a provocative decision. Here's what this decision done. First of all, it was going to be an inevitable rejection. I want you to know, based on his decision, it was going to be inevitable.
That's right.
Inevitable. Yeah. I want you to know, sinner, you keep saying no to God, inevitably you're going to die and go to hell. Let me say something, Christian. You keep waving your hand up to God. I'm going to tell you what God's going to do. He's going to try to speak to you through the word. He's going to try to speak to you through your conscience. He's going to try to speak to you, maybe taking your children, or take your life, or hurt your life, or hurt your husband, or hurt your neighbor. Something that'll affect you and wake you up. But if none of that works, then inevitably, God's going to take you. That scares the living fire out of me. Hey, some people, God has showed them mercy. And now they think, I can get by with anything. No, you can't. Then number two, I see intensified repercussions. Oh, listen, listen. I want y'all to stay with me. Stay with me. You know what happened? Hey, Doc Kinder, you know what happened? The frog ceased. And here's what Pharaoh done. Oh, man, thank God that's over. He had a respite. Here's what he thought, Amy. Because he thought the frogs were done, he thought God was done. But God wasn't done. Because here's what God done. God then stepped his game up again. And he sent lice. I hate lice. And he sent flies. I hate flies. You like them? God bless you. He sent darkness. He killed the cattle. But listen, when it was all over, when the death angel passed by, tell you what God done. You know how they got out? Pharaoh went up to his boy, firstborn boy's bedroom, walked into the bedroom, and the boy was lifeless. Why did Pharaoh's boy die? Why did Pharaoh's boy get destroyed? Because of Pharaoh's decision to wait till tomorrow. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I know you've convinced yourself that nothing's going to happen. And maybe you're getting along pretty good right now. And maybe things are a little smooth for you right now. It ain't going to stay that way. Because God's going to step up his game. There's people in this building that should get right with God. There's unsaved people. You need to get right with God. Had to deal with darkness. And I want you to know this. Listen to this. I'm done. There's an ironic reciprocity here. I want you to notice. Now, I read a book, and I still got to check this out, but I'll quote the book, and if he's wrong, you can tell him. He said, actually, the way this word was used, it's the first time it was ever used, and it was used by the devil. Tomorrow is not a God term. Somebody help me. But I want y'all to know something. If you study your Bible in 810 or 823, 829, 95, 189, and 104, God started using the word tomorrow. Oh, you want me? Hey, hold on. You need me to help you at the hospital? You need me at the hospital for your boy or your girl or your husband? You need me? I'll tell you when I'm coming. I'll see you tomorrow. You've messed your life up, and you want right now, huh? I'll tell you what I'm going to do, buddy. I'll see you tomorrow. Oh, my God. See, here's what's going to happen. You'll shake your little bony hand up at God, and then when you really need him, I'll see you tomorrow. Somebody help me preach. I think I'm getting the words helping me. Amen. But let me magnify something, son. Tomorrow's not God's name. That's not God's word. That's right. He only uses it because of our rebellion. That's it. Am I preaching? Yes. I'm going to land this airplane right now. You hear me? You hear me? So ironic that God starts using the word, but it ain't his word. I'll prove it ain't his word. Because when he passed through Jericho, as a boy that climbed up a sycamore tree to see him, and he said, Zacchaeus, make haste. Now, let me paraphrase again, okay? Because I'm coming to your house today.
Amen.
How many remember the day God came to your house? Somebody say amen. Woo! I remember two thieves hanging on the cross. One was mad and the other one got repentant. And he said, remember me. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad, Jared?
I'm glad.
Aren't you glad that Jesus said, today.
Amen.
Shalt thou be with me in paradise.
Amen.
See, today is God's word. He says this also in his book. Now is accepted time. Don't wait till tomorrow to get saved. Don't wait till tomorrow to get right. Don't wait till tomorrow to get your attitude straightened up. Don't wait till tomorrow you lose your kids, your life, everything else. Don't wait till tomorrow. I don't know if Bill Lamont remembers this. I was working and I'm done. Pianist, come on up. I was working for the Department of Highways. And Bill will remember the guy. There was a loader operator. He's a dear black man, a wonderful man. Remember, Bill? We witnessed to him all the time, remember? You'll remember. We witnessed to him all the time. On Friday. You know what that loader operator told me? I said, I gave him a gospel truck, and I said, you really need to get saved. You know what he told me? He said, you know what? I might do that next week, tomorrow, later. But he said, tonight, I'm going to Huntington to party. I'm going down to Huntington to party. That's, you'll start remembering, Bill. And Bill, if you remember, he went down to Huntington. He got stabbed 8 times. Killed, murdered. I went to the viewing, and his—I don't think it was his wife, girlfriend, mama was there. They looked at me and said, "Who are you anyhow?" I'm Pastor John Smith. I'm just a little pastor. John Smith, Big John. Oh, he spoke well of you. He loved you. She said, Pastor John, she was a saved mama. Do you think that he got right? I told her. I said, honey, before he left, I give him the plan of salvation. And I gave him a gospel track. And I don't know after that. And I figured if he went on to the bars, probably didn't. Because see, Kim, actually when you say tomorrow to God, here's what you're saying. Listen, you know what you're saying if you're going to put it off and get saved. You're saying, actually you're saying no. You need to get right with God, with somebody else. You say tomorrow. You know what you're saying to God? No. No, no. Bow your heads with me. I hope people don't move around because this is a serious time right now. Heads bowed, eyes closed. How many right now say, if you died today, how many right now will say, I know I'm going to heaven? For sure, raise your hand. For sure, thank you. Thank you. How many of you know you're not going to heaven, but before you die and you want prayer, I see you. Dear sis, I see you. I don't want to play on your emotions, ma'am, but I want you to know I prayed for you all week. I'd heard you raise your hand last week. Nobody's looking, so you're not going to be embarrassed. Anybody else, raise your hand and say, I'm not saved, but I want to be. But I, preacher, sounds like I need to do it now. Yes, you do. Any others? How many Christians here? And I'm not going to be mean to you. I'm not going to beat on you. I'm just going to tell you. How many Christians right now, you know your heart's not right with God. You know it used to be, but it's not right with God. And you say, preach, I know I need to get right. I know that I've been saved long enough to know that God ain't going to allow this long. I wonder how many Christians are kind of backsliding on God. I say, you know, I don't want God to have to step up his game to get my attention. Just raise your hand and say, pray for me. I see it. I see it. I see it. I see that. I want to say tenderly to you, don't wait till tomorrow. Stand to your feet. That dear person that's lost, would you do me a favor? Would you come on and come on up here and get saved? Father, touch the lost. Touch the dear Christian that, Lord, they just been putting off. They know what's right. They're good people. They just, right now, Lord, it's just not right with them. God, I pray right now, the one that raised their hand lost, the several that raised their hand that needs to get back to God, God sweetly, tenderly touch them. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need to be saved, you come on. You can meet me. I'll meet you myself. Just come on. Say, preacher, I raised my hand. I'm lost. And I'm done waiting. I want to be saved today. I want to be saved today. Nobody's looking, but if you want to be saved today and you'd like for me to help you, slip your hand up and I'll help you right now. I'll come to you. Anybody? I want to be saved, preach. Don't wait till tomorrow. Get right today. Do me just this favor, and those that are getting baptized, go ahead and get ready. Would you do me this favor? Just bow your heads. I don't want nobody looking. But if you're here lost and you raise your hand, you say, I really want to be saved, would you look at me right now? Nobody looking but me. You look, I hope you know I love you. Right? Nobody's looking. Nobody's looking. Won't you do it today? I'll help you. Don't put it off. Be the best thing you ever done. Won't you just step out today? Get somebody by the hand, you know. If you're a little intimidated, if you want me to come, I'll just come. Just wave your hand and say, come on. I'll come. Please don't put it off. How long have you been putting it off? This next verse is for you, sir, ma'am. This verse is for you. And I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to really step down here to the front of the altar. I'm going to set it in front of the altar. And you want to come, I'm right here with you. Sing one more verse. My hand's out too.
Ask me not, O Jesus.
My hand's out.
Savior,
don't wait till tomorrow. That's the devil's word. You waited too long now. Just sit back. I promise you, it'll be the greatest thing you ever done.
Do not pass.